Well, great song, Tim, about our God who is a deliverer. We see that emphasized in the Old Testament, that he delivered his people from Egyptian bondage long time ago. We read expressions like, with a mighty hand, God delivered his people. With a strong arm, he delivered his people from Egyptian bondage. It wasn't a matter of walking into a country. The Lord says, let his people go, and the leader of the country says, okay, he's the Lord, I'll let y'all go. It wasn't that kind of a situation at all. But God had his purposes for using Pharaoh and the hardening of his heart in the demonstration of the control over nature to such an extreme degree that it made a drastic and lasting impression on the people of Egypt. And also, it was designed to make that impression upon God's people. So, God's power to deliver. Is that worth anything to us today? We're not in Egypt. We're not in bondage. We're not slaves to anyone. Well, certainly it is. The faith in Jehovah God that whatever problems come our way and whatever difficulties that the devil puts in front of us to try to prevent us from serving God, God can banish them and make them disappear and free us. He can deliver us from the things that would destroy us spiritually. I think we see that here. Brother Phil's prayer that all blessings come from God. How were God's people able to enjoy the freedom from bondage that they did? God provided it for them. Could God do something similar for us today? Free us from the things that shackle us? Can he set us free today? Can he bless us with the good things that we need today? Well, certainly. Certainly he can. So it's a lasting faith in God that benefits God's people. Do you know of any drama that's more, how can we say, exciting than the drama that takes place between Moses as a representative of God and Pharaoh as representative of the world, say, for example? Let my people go. And this back and forth, where God's mighty hand is displayed and people have to suffer. The Egyptian people suffered greatly as a result of the plagues that were issued upon them. And what a tug of war, what a clash of wills between Moses and Pharaoh. The very first confrontation between them must have been something to behold when Moses said, the Lord, the God of heaven, sent me to you, saying, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. That's a classic statement from Exodus chapter 7 and verse 16, isn't it? And during that period, this dramatic series of plagues occurred. You can read about them. We can read them to our young children, and their eyes are just wide open with excitement and curiosity what's going to happen next when we explain to them about the plagues and who caused them. And what a ferocious fight that was between God and Pharaoh. Pharaoh couldn't afford to lose a lot of people who were providing labor to complete his public works project. And who wouldn't like that kind of labor? Just, hey, you need something done? You don't have to hire these craftsmen over here that have a long history with Egypt. Just get these people to do the menial tasks that you need taken care of that'll cause this country to prosper. The original response of Pharaoh in chapter 5 and verse 4, Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors. What are you doing here? You have a job. We've assigned you responsibility. You don't have time for all this political shenanigans going on and dreaming in your head about leaving and going out into the wilderness for your religious duties. Get back to work. You see where his heart was, right? Someone said this is typical of the world's attitude towards spiritual service. I had a person ask me one time. Well, they made a statement to me, really. Someone rather close to me, sometime around my conversion. What's wrong with you voluntarily wanting to go to church? Come from someone who had the concept that, well, your parents make you go to church, and so you just have to go. What's wrong with you? That's typical of the world's attitude, isn't it? You know, get back to your labors. The burdens of Egypt are far more important than the service of the Lord. And even among the Lord's people, Martha finds more imitators today, I guess, than Mary does. You know, we've got work to do. We've got things to do. We can't be in the assembly. We've got to take care of responsibilities. You know, if we don't, our schedules will be all cramped and we may lose a little sleep, or we may not feel as good when we show up on the job Monday morning, or whatever the situation is. What means did he employ to try to retain his hold on these Israelites that were providing work for him? First, the force and power of Pharaoh's commands. When the king says do something, that's what you do. If you don't, you could very easily lose your life, couldn't you? When the Pharaoh encountered the great power of Almighty God, he then decided, maybe I better back up a little bit. Maybe I better change what I said. But he didn't change it very much. And the series that he went through in his discussions with Moses are classically known by Old Testament Bible students as a series of compromises. Can we look at Pharaoh's compromises and learn something about compromises that exist in our own day? We've already talked about faith in God to deliver us. That principle is still good today. We talked about all of our blessings come from God. Good things come from Him. That's still a principle that's active today in our faith, isn't it? But what about this? Can we see compromise in the lives of people? You know, kind of sounds innocent on the surface, but those kind of compromises can destroy. And I think you'll see that as we go on. What is a compromise? It's an attempt to make a settlement or solve a disagreement by allowing concessions. Well, these are things I don't want to give up. But if I have to, in order to come to an agreement, to get the people back to work, to accomplish what I want to, I'll let them have this. And we know that from the history of our own country and people in the workforce go out on strike. They meet together with the management, try to resolve their differences so they can get back to work, like Pharaoh said. Get back to work. You have a job here. We have a production schedule to meet. Back to work. And so management decides they'll make certain compromises, and the workforce decides we're going to ask for all of this, but if we can get just a little bit of it, that'll be good, and we'll go back to work. So, compromise. Both sides compromise. Attempt to settle by making a concession or a grant. It's kind of like somebody said, changing the question to fit the answer. And compromise still threatens us today. We're not really concerned tonight about what's going on in the labor forces of our country, we're concerned about compromise when it comes to people who will stand up for the truth. And under what circumstances might they diminish their resolve and their fidelity and their trustworthiness and their faithfulness, as we talked about this morning, to come to an agreement with people of the world? Don't talk to me about the Bible anymore. Don't mention that passage anymore. I don't want to hear about it. Whatever the compromise might be. So let's look at some of Pharaoh's deals going on here. The first one that he offers, the first compromise that he makes to Moses is this. Moses saying, let my people go. Let us all go. We're going out in the wilderness. We've got to sacrifice to our God. We've been commanded by him to do so. Pharaoh didn't say, okay. But what did he say? He said, no, back to work at first. All right, now he's got a compromise because things are going on. Go sacrifice to your God within the land. Don't go 3 days' journey out there in the wilderness. Just take care of that religious responsibility right here in the land. You won't have to travel that far. This is what God said in Exodus 7 and verse 16. Let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. That came from God. Moses didn't make that up. Came from God. What was the compromise? Well, we don't mind adding a God here in Egypt. If you folks want a convenience of where you live and conduct your religious services there, you don't need to leave the country to do that. You don't need to go 3 days out in the wilderness to accomplish that. Just do that here. And by the way, that'll allow us to keep our eyes on you and see what you're really up to. Because we don't want you to be up to things that are illegal. Right? And really, 3 days in the wilderness, there's really no need to be extreme. Have you been charged by some of your neighbors or some of your coworkers or some of your classmates about being extreme? That's a radical Church of Christer over there. They don't believe in dancing. They don't believe in music. Charges of being extreme. That didn't originate with people in our own day, did it? That's kind of what Pharaoh's throwing out to them. So just accommodate your worship to be what'll be convenient for you to take care of that right here in Egypt. Today, worship and doing good things are very important, aren't they? For the Christian, for the servant of God. Someone has said, where we do them is not important. Is that kind of what Pharaoh's saying? Now, I know the Lord God commanded this of you, but really think about it. Let's use some common sense. You don't really need to go 3 days into the wilderness. Where you do it is not important. God observes you wherever you are. And that's where this idea that a lot of people, some men that I knew like to go fishing on Sunday morning. We can worship God in nature. Really? When God told you to meet with the brothers and sisters to remember the death of the Lord for your sins on the first day of the week, among other things. And you think you can do that in a boat on the river? Yes, we take the Lord's Supper with us. What are you to your brothers and sisters who have canceled all of their other arrangements in life to be in the assembly on the Lord's Day? What are you saying to them? You see, it's kind of the same compromise. It's subtle, but it's calculated to be kind of deceptive, I think. And where did deceptive things come from, by the way? An angel from heaven? Not hardly. Moses' answer in Exodus 8, 26 and 27, Moses said, what did Moses say about it? It's probably good to think about that. It's not right to do that, is what Moses says, isn't it? In Exodus 8, 26 It's not right to do so. For we will sacrifice to our Lord God what is an abomination to the Egyptians. And if we sacrifice what is an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We're going to be doing something that your people don't like. It's best if they don't see it, and we do it 3 days' journey into the wilderness. That'll eliminate all kinds of civil disturbances. Was Pharaoh about taking every measure to eliminate civil disturbances? Doesn't seem like it. And Moses said, we must go 3 days' journey in the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He commands. So Moses reveals the real point of the enemy's attack right here. It was the Word of God that Pharaoh sought to neutralize by his suggestion to compromise. Now that's what happens to you and I. When people don't like what we say about upholding the truth or how we act when it comes to all the activities that the world engages in, why won't you people do that? And they don't like the answer. And they don't like our stand. So they're going to try to tear it down. When God has spoken, that settles the matter. It did for Moses. That's why Moses was chosen to lead God's people out from under powerful Pharaoh. Because when God speaks, He means it. And when God tells us to do something, that settles the matter. There's no room left for debating. No room left for reasoning. It's vain for us to discuss this and dispute this. Our duty is to submit to the Word of God because it regulates what we believe and what we practice in service to the Most High. Human opinions, human traditions, custom, convenience have nothing to do with it. It's the Word of God. Where does this make a difference? As far as you and I are concerned, does it not make a difference for us in the kingdom that the Lord purchased with His own precious blood? Well, certainly it does. So Christians are not to participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, as Ephesians 5 and verse 11, and the challenge is to come out from that bondage in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. The Word of God, how important it is. So we can't just, Moses says we can't just sacrifice in the land. Why? Because it's not right. God didn't tell us to do that. Well, okay, in chapter 8, verse 28, Pharaoh said, I'll let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. You see, that's another compromise, isn't it? And then because of the difficulty he'd seen his people experience, he says, make supplication for me. You know, in case there's really something powerful, maybe, about this God you're serving, you know, ask Him to send me a little relief, too, when you're going out the little ways into the wilderness. Is that really what God said? What did God say? Let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. It didn't change, did it? No change. That's what it is. So, you see what this compromise is still. Don't go very far. Because I want to keep my eye on you. I want to make sure you get back to work as soon as possible. Because we're behind schedule now. Take a temporary break from slavery. But get back to it as quickly as you can. Because this nation has things to do. I'm not really opposed to your God. Make supplication for me. You see that compromise? And it's the same thing with people today talking to you. Don't go crazy about this gospel stuff. Don't be talking about the church that you're a member of all the time. It's okay if you don't want to be too involved in religion because people are embarrassed when they walk in the assembly and The back row's full. They can't sit on the back row anymore. They have to move up where people are watching them all the time. Make me feel uncomfortable. I don't know if I should ever go there. If you really must be a Christian, don't let it spoil your life. There's no need to cut loose from your old friends and your old associations. You don't want to be a long-faced, unhappy, miserable person. Why abandon the pleasures and the recreations that life affords you? You're free to do what you want to do. Why let religion be a millstone around your neck? You see, the same type of compromises are suggested to us by people around us all the time. But we need to do what the Lord tells us to do, right? Okay, in chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, Pharaoh's beginning to figure, okay, what I'm going to have to make another compromise. What's it going to be? So Moses and Aaron are brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Now, who are the ones that are going? With Moses, it was all of us. All of us are going. But now Pharaoh questions specifically, who actually will be the ones that go out there? Moses said, we'll go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds, we shall go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. We, all of us, must hold a feast to the Lord. Then he said to them, thus may the Lord be with you, if ever I let you and your little ones go. Take heed, for evil is in your mind. You've been scheming. Been trying to get out of work. That's not a good thing. No, not so. In verse 11, go now. The men among you and serve the Lord, for that is what you desire. And Pharaoh drove them out of his presence. You can go, but you're not taking your children with you. What would be the fastest way to bring those people back if they travel out into the wilderness and take care of their religious responsibilities? What would be the fastest way to bring them back and get them back to work? Hold their children here. They're not going to ever abandon their children, are they? Not these people. So the men only can go. So Pharaoh's kind of clever. We can see through what he's trying to do. You can go, but don't go very far. And then you will probably return. And if you don't return, you might die in the wilderness. And your movement will die, and then we won't be worried about you coming before Pharaoh asking for people to exit the country all the time. Today, be religious, but stop forcing your children to go to Bible class. Stop forcing them to memorize Scripture. Stop forcing them to leave the playground with me, to carry them to a church building. That's the way some people in our society think. But there can't be any compromise in this area. Pharaoh retained a most powerful hold on them through their natural affections, their love for their children. How could they be severed with Egypt as long as their children were there? They could not. So that was a powerful compromise, and the devil knew that. Don't you think? Leave the little ones behind, but remember what God said? Let my people go. What about this? Okay, you're not going to leave your children, but your material wealth, leave it behind. Because if we let your children go and you won't be coming back to your children, then surely because of your love of ease and your material possessions and all of the things that have been handed down to you from previous generations that you retain possession of, you'll come back and get it because it's valuable to you. You can use it. Right? So, leave your flocks and herds in chapter 10 and verse 24. What did the Lord God say? Let my people go. Right? Let them go that they may serve me in the wilderness. Pharaoh's thinking, okay, if you all get out here and you're serving your God out there in the wilderness, You'll not even be able to sacrifice appropriately because you won't have any food. You've left it all behind. So that'll bring you back. Note the perseverance of ultimately his behind this. It's the old devil, isn't it? Got hold of Pharaoh pretty good. And the old devil's not going to accommodate the will of God in any way. He's going to fight against it all the time in the lives of people. And so you see his perseverance here through Pharaoh disputing with Moses every inch of the way and offering compromise after compromise, trying to keep them in the land, trying to keep them near, trying to keep separate them from their children, finally trying to separate them from their flocks and herds. Today, where are our possessions and where are our affections? Would we give up faithful and loyal service to the Lord God if it means choosing our material possessions over Him? That'd be a drastic compromise. It would be severe, wouldn't it? You know, the devil's trying to get us to do that all the time, isn't he? Leave behind the means to do the job. Leave behind your money and your talents and your time. Don't get that involved. Use your time for your recreation. Don't waste it on people who may never listen to you in inviting them to come to the services or trying to study the Word of God with them. Don't waste your time. They're going to reject you anyway. But nothing we have is really ours. And everything that we own actually belongs to God. And are we committed servants to the Most High God as stewards? And it's right here, at this point, where many people fail. And that's sad. Give yourselves to God if you must, but do not consecrate your possessions to His service. Because after all, you need security to live in this life. That's what we hear a lot of times from people, but that's really a compromise. Notice the great expression of Moses' non-compromising spirit revealed in Exodus 10, beginning in verse 25. Moses said, "You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God." In verse 26, "Therefore our livestock too shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind," he said. "For we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know with what we shall serve the Lord." But Moses was committed, wasn't he? We are going to serve the Lord, and we are going to do exactly what he said. That's the kind of commitment that you and I need to have, isn't it? We don't have a dog in the race, so to speak, when it comes to deciding what the will of God is. He's already told us. Our responsibility is to do what he said to the very best of our ability. Listen to his word. Understand his word. Do what he said do. Don't change it around. Don't try to make it easier and don't try to make it more difficult. Don't change it in any way. Don't compromise in any respect. And we see how successful we can be. How do you know we can be successful at doing that, brother? Well, I'll tell you how. God's people left Egypt, didn't they? And they left in accordance with the command of Jehovah God, whom they served, didn't they? Yes, they did. God led them out. Yes, by His power. Yes. They made sacrifice of animals. Yes. And you and I are to make sacrifices in our lives. Paul to the Romans in chapter 12, "I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Hold on to the will of God. Don't compromise it. Don't forget it. Don't add to it and don't take from it. because it is good and acceptable and perfect as it is, designed for a purpose. What was the purpose of this mighty clash of wills between Moses and Pharaoh anyway? Exodus 10 verse 2. Here's the key to it. That you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. That's the whole purpose of it. And that's a powerful, powerful thing. Exodus 10 and verse 2. We must be aware of, never fall to Satan's compromises today. They're coming at us from people in the world all the time. We don't fall for it. No human institution, no man, no group of men, no synod of religious men even, sincere religious men, can demand of us to make compromises when we know that our God has told us what to do and we're doing it. And we don't need to compromise. Only God has the sovereign right to command you and claim ownership of your life. No one else. You'll find it in His Word. He is owner of us and everything we have. Only God. He expects us to use our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength in His service as His children. The world's going to continue to offer us many compromises. Don't fall for it. Thanks for listening to me tonight. I appreciate it so much. You're in our assembly, and you realize the value of not making compromises with what the truth teaches and what the gospel of Christ shows that must be true in our lives, what we must come to believe, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's not difficult, and it's not something that you leap off to in blind faith. There's enough evidence there that's tried and true. It's been tested. Like the old picture of all the worn-out hammers that have tried to crack the anvil. It's never worked. Men have tried to destroy the Bible, never been successful at doing it, and will not be because it's the powerful Word of God. It teaches us to believe that Jesus is His Son, that He was sent to this earth to die as a sacrifice for our sins, that He may purchase with His precious blood a people for His service and for Him to bless. God will grant us eternal life if we'll turn from our sins in repentance, be courageous enough to confess Him before men, just like Moses did before Pharaoh. Confess Him before men. Be immersed in water for forgiveness of sin, the prescription that the Lord gave His apostles to carry into all the world, the same with everyone, whether the first century or today. So if you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ and you want to become a Christian this very day, we beg of you, please come to the front. Let me know about it. While we stand together and encourage you by singing the invitation song. May God bless you. It's our earnest prayer.